word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
For word of mouth.
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 This is the generation of MSC.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, this is Word of Mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott. 1 year after the Arab Spring, protesters in Syria are uploading videos and images of the Assad regime's brutal crackdown of the opposition. The use of new technologies to spread messages and unify resistance against authoritarian regimes is by now familiar. 5 centuries before demonstrators tweeted from public squares in the Middle East, an obscure minister and theologian named Martin Luther exploited the social media of his time to challenge entrenched power. We know at least how that revolution fared. Tom Standage is digital editor for The Economist. He wrote about the dynamics of social networks during the Arab Spring and the Protestant Reformation in an article for the magazine called How Luther Went Viral. And he joins us now on the line from London. Tom, welcome to the program.
Hello, thanks for inviting me.
Well, so give us an idea of the media environment that existed back in October 1517 when Martin Luther nailed this 95 theses to the church door in Wittenberg.
Well, the printing press had been invented in Europe not quite a century earlier, and it had been mainly used to produce large books, predominantly the Bible and the classics on the ancient world and things like that. But a new format had emerged, the pamphlet, and this is a very short book. Doesn't have a cover. It's probably 8 or 16 pages long. And if you're a printer, it's quite an attractive format because you can turn round 1,000 pamphlets probably in a couple of days, whereas printing a bunch of Bibles and selling them takes months and months and months. You have to make this massive upfront investment. So the pamphlet was a very popular format. And what Luther managed to do was he put up his 95 theses complaining about the state of the church, and in particular the doctrine of indulgences, the idea that you basically get the poor to give you money so that they or their relatives don't get stuck in purgatory, and then you use the money to build St. Peter's Basilica in Rome. He thought that was not on. And so he wrote the 95 theses saying, hey, we need to discuss these aspects of the doctrine of indulgences. He actually wrote them down in Latin by hand and stuck them onto the notice board of the university, which was the church door. And what happened was that they started to be copied, first by hand, but then printers started to print them. And then what's really interesting is that other printers took those printed versions and made copies themselves. And that was the viral spread, that when the printers realize that something is sought after, they take an existing pamphlet and make another copy of it. And they could do that in a couple of days. And that enabled the 95 theses to spread throughout Germany within 2 weeks and throughout Europe within a month.
And they were printed in German, correct? As the iterations went on.
Yes, so that was the other thing that happened was that initially the first printed versions of the 95 theses appear in Latin, and then an enterprising printer realized that if he translated them into German, an awful lot more people would be able to read them, because although literacy was only probably about 15% in the population at the time, an awful lot more people would be able to read German than Latin, which was the language of the clerics and of the scientists. So translating it into German was one of the things that helped this initial pamphlet, which actually Luther had just written as an invitation to a debate, to go viral. But Luther very quickly twigged. He saw that merely putting this thing up on the door that people were interested in and that touched a nerve, it had been able to spread very, very quickly throughout the German-speaking land. So for his next pamphlet, which he followed up with a few weeks later, he wrote it in German, mm-hmm. and he wrote it in a kind of German that was understandable throughout the regions where German was spoken. So he avoided sort of regional dialects, regional idioms like that, so that he would reach the broadest possible audience. And all he did was hand it to a local printer in Wittenberg, and they produced 1,000 or 2,000 copies, and then people wanted them, took them to other towns where printers reprinted them again. So he just had to sit back and let it happen, and no money changed hands. He just let this thing spread under its own steam. And he produced another 18 pamphlets during 1518, and that was how he got them to spread.
Unintentional but rapid spread of the 95 theses is what you write about. Luther did not plan to split the church. He was just opening up a debate. Was he able to manage his message even as it spread?
Well, no, and this is one of the many, many parallels with social media today, which is that when companies try to use it, or indeed just people try to put stuff out there, they can't always predict how it will be used and what people will say. So one of the problems that Luther had was that he initially just wanted to reform the church from within. But some of the people who read his message thought, yeah, this is great. And while we're having a go at the authority of the church, why don't we have a go at the authority of our political rulers as well? And so the Peasants' War, which followed a few years after this, was blamed to some extent on Luther because he had opened up this hornet's nest. He had said, let's start to challenge the people in authority. And Luther actually distanced himself completely from this. He said, no, this is unacceptable. And a lot of the people who took part in the Peasants' Revolt felt that he'd betrayed them. So that was one problem. The other problem was that the people who became known as the reformers, the Reformation leaders, disagreed among each other. They all agreed that there was something wrong with the way the Catholic Church worked, but they couldn't agree on what to replace it with. And this is very often something you see in revolutions. Everyone says, let's get rid of this, right, but they don't know what to replace it with. And so some of the reformers went much further than Luther. They wanted to get rid of the gowns that priests wore. They wanted to get rid of all imagery. They wanted to get rid of some of the sacraments. I mean, Luther wanted to get rid of some of them. Some of them wanted to get rid of all sacraments. So again, there was a rather chaotic movement. And Luther spent most of the rest of his life actually trying to bring the Protestant sects into line with each other.
Tom Standage, digital editor for The Economist, is with us. He wrote about social media in the 16th century and the similar methods used during the Arab Spring and the Protestant Reformation in an article for the magazine called How Luther Went Viral. Well, there were some other tools, and I'm glad you mentioned imagery, because besides the pamphlets, a whole proliferation of what we would call viral tools were out there. Woodcuts, the news ballads, using very, very bold graphics. How did these spread?
Yes, so the other bits of media that were being circulated, there were the pamphlets, and the pamphlets were probably the most important because the priests and the influential people in each town who read them would read them out to their friends, discuss them, read them out in taverns, that sort of thing. And we see entire guilds of particular workers converting at the same time, which suggests that they've all been talking about it at work. So that's one of the things that happened. We also get these images, the woodcuts. And they were used by both sides, both by Luther and his opponents. So there are woodcuts by his Catholic opponents showing Luther basically making a big cauldron with the devil, stirring things up. And then Luther had a friend called Lucas Cranach, who was a very good artist, and he both painted and produced woodcuts. And they produced a series of increasingly graphic images that made it clear what they thought of the priest.
Quite clear.
yes, quite. So you have, devils excreting piles of monks, and this is called the origin of the monks and that sort of thing. So very quickly, the level of the debate descended. And this is the funny thing about Luther. He could write in this amazingly precise Latin, very detailed theological arguments, and then he could switch just like that into German and write in this very earthy language and use all of this really, quite graphic imagery. And that was a great talent of his, that he could modulate his voice for different audiences. And it was a big problem for his opponents, because when they tried to attack him, the Catholics mostly attacked him in Latin on theological grounds. And that meant no one wanted to read their pamphlets, and they didn't spread, and they didn't have this sort of viral impact. Anyway, so there were the woodcuts. They were very useful if you were trying to explain what Luther was going on about to people who were illiterate or only semi-literate. You could certainly show them the pictures. And so they were sort of teaching aids for Luther and his supporters. There were also songs, and Luther himself wrote many of these. One of the things he wanted to do was actually introduce more music in vernacular German into worship. So as well as writing lots of hymns, he also wrote news ballads, and this was how you spread the news. One of the ways you did it in those days, you would write a poem that explained what was going on and set it to a well-known tune. So he started doing this, in fact, after a couple of his supporters were executed in Brussels. He was very affected by this. And so this was sort of the equivalent of a YouTube video that shows you how bad your opponents are being and gets spread around. Obviously, he couldn't do it with video, so he wrote a song called We Are Starting to Sing a New Song in 1523. And this was, you'd publish the lyrics and they would be passed around and copied, and people would learn the song and sing it to each other. And that's how they would learn that the church was doing these terrible things to Luther's supporters in Brussels.
Before we end, I wanted to ask you about, you mentioned the period of intense social upheaval that comes as information and revolution spread. Any perspective, given what went on in Luther's time, on the unrest in the post-Arab Spring revolutionary countries for you?
Yes, I think the big debate we've had in the past year is, one of the big debates has been the extent to which social media did play a role in this. And I think we've actually had a very similar debate going on among historians about the role of media in the Reformation. And the answer is it doesn't cause revolutions, but if you're going to have a revolution, it makes it much easier to spread and much more likely to succeed. And somebody has described the use of social media in the Arab Spring as an accelerant. And I think that's a very good way of putting it. It doesn't light doesn't spark a fire, but it helps it spread more quickly. The other thing it does is it enables you to coordinate your opinion. So if you go to a website and see that 100,000 other people have liked a page that says, let's all have a demonstration on January the 25th in the last 10 minutes, you can get a sense that there's quite a lot of support for that idea. Similarly, if you are trying to buy a pamphlet and you go to the guy in your village who sells pamphlets and says, I hear there's a new Martin Luther, and he says, no, they've all sold out, then you know, even though if you don't know who the other people in the village are, you know that a lot of other people are interested in his ideas, and there's widespread support. And so this torrent of pamphlets, and it was 6 or 7 million of them, about a third of them written by Luther in the first decade of the Reformation, gave this overwhelming impression of incredibly widespread support for his views. And that was why he managed to make the Reformation stick in a way that previous reformers of the church a century earlier had failed to do so.
Well, Tom Standage, digital editor for The Economist, I really want to thank you for a really interesting and thorough look at that. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Tom Standage again, digital editor for The Economist. You'll find a link to his article, How Luther Went Viral. That's at wordofmouthradio.org. And you can also share your protests, your opposition, your agreements, your messages of unity on Word of Mouth's Facebook and Twitter feeds. Coming up, a theater program that helps teachers deal with homophobia in the classroom. That's when Word of Mouth continues in just a moment.